Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We're coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody?
Woo!
Happy. Woo! Ben, I didn't even ask Ben. Ben did this on his own. Ben, good job. Good job, Ben Geary. It's draft day.
It's draft day, and it's Astros back to the beginning day. If you were one of those people in 2013 who knew that the Astros were just about a couple years away from turning the corner, then this is the year for you, because we've moved it back. Remember, we had been saying this is the worst record since 2014?
Right.
We're going back in time. Worst record since 2013.
2013 now, huh? Wow.
Just this with many, many, many fewer excuses and a much larger payroll. Think about that. What was the payroll in 2013? Like $47 million?
No. In 2013, I'll tell you what it was. Welcome in, everybody, by the way. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Draft day. We're going to get to the draft in a second. It was $18
million. Oh, my God.
And I'm going to give you two factoids here on this. Bud Norris was the highest paid player at $3 million a year.
Hell yeah, player rep.
That's how much they stripped it down.
Yeah.
Player rep.
Remember Bud Norris chiming in on CBA stuff?
He's going to show up on Fox News at some point. I just know it. The other one was that the total payroll of the Astros was like what Alex Rodriguez made in like 2.5 months or something like that.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. That's how you tank, man. That's how you strip down.
He had an excuse back then. I'm looking up and looking at Todd Callis and Jeff Blum with his his winter hat, cap on.
The replay of last night's game, the Astros lose last night to the Cubs, in case you're wondering.
That stupid stadium.
They're 7-18. I do too. And I used to have partial season tickets to it in Wrigley.
In the friendly confines, my ass.
Yeah. The replay of the Astros Cubs game is on the TV here in studio, and it's the beginning of the game. They kick it off at 6 a.m. every morning. And Blum has on like a stocking cap and a sport coat. Callis has a sport coat. I was really cold in Chicago last
40
night.
40 degrees.
By the end of the game, they both looked like Nanook of the North. They had vests on. Callis has a hat on too. You know, it was funny.
Altuve looked like he was either skiing the mountains or robbing a bank or whatever. Yep. It was cold. It was cold. But as it goes this year, the cold affected both teams. The manual dexterity was not there, but it affected the Astros more than the opponent.
And it got worse as the night went on. I took the over last night in the game. It was only 7.5 runs. I'm like, Eric Geddy can give up 7.5 runs himself. I'm taking the over in this game. It was 4-2 after like the second inning, and I'm like, oh, I'm set. They'll score 2 more runs.
Right.
Nope. Sean Dubin turns into the ace middle reliever. Ryan Presley, the one appearance Ryan Presley has where he looks like what they thought they were getting in Josh Hader.
It feels, honestly, guys out. If you erase the names and you watch this season, it feels a lot like 2013 or 2014 where you're grasping for straws in terms of, well, you know what? This Arrighetti kid,
yes.
Hey, sure, dude. He got shelled in the first inning, but then, man, threw a boatload of strikeouts. Here we go.
It's the first thing I wrote down in my notes. I said, I'm watching that game, and they take Spencer Arrighetti out. He goes 3 2/3. He gives up 4 earned runs. So he has an ERA in this game of over 10. And there's not a single person on the broadcast who isn't touting the two or three little things they liked about Spencer Arrighetti. I'm like, right. What are we doing? You're supposed to be, you guys are third on the odds for the World Series, and the first thing we're bringing up is hey, he did strike out seven guys. He made some good pitches.
It's not as bad as you might think. Hey,
freaking kidding
me. Here we go. Oh, let's just reset all the expectations. I was thinking about that in terms of just, you know, the energy or lack thereof and everything else. It happens when you're losing. I mean, it always, in any sport, it always feels like, oh, these guys just aren't fiery enough. When if they were fiery as they were losing, you'd think that they weren't taking it seriously enough. Right. It's just that you're stuck in that trap of suck. But there is that element where, man, okay, back in 2014 with Club Astros and everything, it at least it was a team that didn't have anything to lose and very, very low expectations. Yeah. And it had George Springer.
Yeah, they're young. The guys you liked were all like in their early 20s.
It is almost at a point, though, where you got to start really celebrating the little crap. Maybe it's the broadcast's approach might be right for it.
I'm not here.
You got to get back to square one.
I got to take up tennis or golf or something.
Third highest paid team in baseball.
Brutal.
Third highest paid. Hey, but Bregman's in the two hole again. So that's another thing. Well, people are giving a spot of credit for moving Bregman up to the two hole without mentioning the fact that he was the cleanup hitter for a large stretch of this. Awful season.
Rubbing two sticks together right now. Hey, Ben, cue the music up again. All right, we got
Sorry, Sean.
No, that's okay.
Did I buzzkill
you? No.
Are you blaming me for the Astros' faults?
I'm not blaming you for anything.
Is this my childhood again? Am I being blamed for stuff my brother did?
Nope.
What the hell?
Nope. It's draft day, man.
Let's think about positivity.
Positivity. What is your... The Texans don't have a pick tonight. The coverage will begin at 6 o'clock. Texans All Access... The coverage is all day long on the draft here, if we're being honest. But the actual draft itself, John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, Andre Ware, they are on that tonight. Even though the Texans do not have a pick in the first round, you, my friend, will be on the coverage tomorrow night live from the draft party with Mark and John. And then I'll be on with Johnny at 11 a.m. on Saturday for day three with Cecil Shorts. So in a draft where the Texans don't have a first-round pick, what is your excitement level for tonight's first round?
My excitement level for tonight, I'm going to do one thing before I tell you, and it's I'm looking at Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
Remember last year, he was the one that called the Texans taking Stroud and then trading up for Will Anderson.
Oh, yeah, I sought it out last night,
so too. I just Control-F'd Texans on Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft, and he does not have any mention of them at all.
Nope.
So there's no trades up into the first round, according to Daniel Jeremiah.
He had the Will Anderson trade last year.
Yes.
So the
biggest thing I would hope for, honestly, is an unexpected slide of a position group.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that would mostly be defensive tackles. Yeah. Or wide receivers.
Okay.
Now, wide receiver, I'm a little torn on because I don't know how to feel if it ends up being somebody that you didn't think was going to be available, like an Xavier Worthy or somebody at the top of the second round, or that might be. I don't know if it's not something I'm going to be able to enjoy immediately.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like your baseball team drafting a pitcher.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, cool. We'll open this up in 2 or 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So I'm hoping for a defensive tackle if all of them slide. And they get the pick. And I like a lot of these defensive tackles. But if they get the pick of whomever they want, because like all these defensive tackles have slid down into the second round other than maybe Byron Murphy, I'd be really excited about that.
Yeah, Byron Murphy. That dream seems to have ended. Byron Murphy, and it's all smoke right now, so who the hell knows. But like of all the smoke that's out there about defensive tackles, the one... big plume of smoke is that Byron Murphy might be a top 10 pick in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about him maybe going to Atlanta at 8 or Chicago at 9 now is what I've seen.
Daniel Jeremiah's got him going 18th to the Bengals.
Okay.
This is where it's tough is there's so many really good offensive players that you just don't know, A, what's going to happen to all the quarterbacks if they're going to push some of the offensive players down. I'm having a really hard time thinking that the most aggressive projections about multiple quarterbacks being taken high are going to come true.
Well,
I think there's too many good wide receivers to where at some point you're like, all right, do I really feel this way about Bo Nix compared to a guy that I feel awesome about at wide receiver?
If we're using Jeremiah as sort of a barometer on this, though, I looked at his draft last night too. He's got 6 quarterbacks going in the top 22 picks.
Yeah. That's not overly aggressive. I'm thinking about some of the people that are speculating that there might be 6.
The first 4 are going to be quarterbacks. Yeah. I would say, like, if I were giving advice to Texan fans tonight, as far as the first round goes, my first bit of advice would be enjoy it. Enjoy that you have a team that you're not watching this going, we're desperate for this guy, we're desperate for that guy, and we can't get any of these guys because our two-headed GM traded all of our draft capital. So you can, this is the last few times the Texans haven't had a first-round pick, and it's been fairly frequent, honestly, over the last 6-7 years, 2018, 2020, 2021. Particularly those 2020 and 2021 drafts, it was really hard to enjoy those because they had so few picks and they had no picks in the first. Hell, Nick Caserio's draft, they didn't pick till the third round.
Yeah.
It was hard to enjoy because you didn't.
And then he took Davis Mills.
And he took Davis Mills. What is up with that? So it was hard to enjoy that. This is one where I can sit back in this first round knowing full well you got 2 second-round picks, a third-round pick, and you got a ton of draft capital on day three to maneuver if you want to, or to actually select players if you want to on day three. My advice to Texan fans would be enjoy the fact that you're not desperate as you're watching this first round. And then I would say, Seth, like around pick 20 is when I would turn the Caserio alert on, I would say.
Right.
Like if something really tasty dropped down to about 20, I don't think he's going to be afraid to move up and go get it if he feels that can make them a better football team this year.
And yeah, depending on what's available, you know. I don't think he's going to be able to trade back up for the same price that he traded down with. Per se, mm-hmm. Maybe he will, maybe he won't.
Once the draft clock starts, the value chart changes.
Yeah.
You know, because you get multiple bidders going, and you only have 10 minutes to figure it out.
So, yeah, so I guess from the big picture, stand back and know that there's a million different permutations of what could happen. Mm-hmm. If you start seeing a certain position slide down, I would say defensive tackle, yeah. Cornerback. If you start hearing talk about wow, we thought there'd be more of these guys gone by this point. Tight end won't be that. I don't think Bowers is really the only guy worth getting excited about in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's a lot of the defensive stuff. Yeah, and the interior offensive lineman, that it doesn't really start until the second and third round anyway. So the more I think about possible scenarios, the more I realize why Nick traded back. Yeah. They really addressed a lot of the stuff that they wanted to in free agency. But then a lot of the spots where we still have question marks about, it looks like the strength of the draft is going to be the second round and later.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think Nick probably feels better about the competition of Okuda and Henderson at cornerback right now,
mm-hmm.
than perhaps we do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's got a super, super keen eye on them. But again, that is a position that if fewer than expected to get drafted in the first round, then, yeah, he might start thinking about pouncing up into the back half of the first round.
It's going to be fun, man. And I think that's kind of that's the lens I'll be watching it through, is just hoping, with each pick, hoping it's not a guy that would be on the radar for the Texans.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad way to watch it tonight. It's fairly stress-free. Celebrate. You got a good football team, Houston. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is draft day. We're going to be heavy, heavy on the draft today. That said, in the next segment, we will relive the first night of the draft last year, which was absolutely franchise transforming for the Houston Texans. But Mike Florio wrote about the little Titans Texans flap that arose in this studio the other day.
Yeah.
He wrote about this yesterday. We will look at this through the lens of Florio. Did Florio go HOA Florio at all on the Titans Texans Hannah McNair kerfuffle from a couple of days ago? We'll take a look at that. Coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so we're going to get to reliving draft day 2023 in just a little bit. That's fun to look back at now. And we're going to be wall-to-wall draft, I think, on the station all day long. Today is the first day of the NFL draft. We'll get to the biggest storylines in the draft at 7 o'clock today. So appreciate you joining us here on Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Here was Cal McNair and Hannah McNair on the compromise that the Texans had to arrive at with the, not mentioned by name here, Tennessee Titans, or at least Amy Adams isn't mentioned by name. Here was Cal and Hannah on In the Loop earlier this week.
So we heard that loud and clear from our fans.
Yeah.
They wanted H-Town Blue represented. They wanted Houston represented. And so we worked with the NFL, and there was some push and shove, and we came to where we could get to with the NFL.
A compromise.
Giving us a compromise mm-hmm. and a certain percentage in the uniform. And I think our fans would like more.
Yeah.
And we're probably in that same boat. But, you know, we're working with the powers that be with the league and all that stuff to get to where we could get.
I think there was some talk. I think even publicly we discussed that we were going to be able to use a different color than Columbia Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that was released and we got approval to do that, that's when we started.
Maybe there was some, how did he put it? Give and take or something
Compromise.
A lot of compromise.
Yeah.
And then it got to a point where they just said, no, you can't. And then we compromised.
What was the reason?
What do you think?
That's one of the greatest lines of the interview. What do you think? What do you think? So Mike Florio, credit John and Landry, man. They got two articles on Pro Football Talk out of that interview.
Well, and I did see that Shereen Williams, when she wrote about it on Pro Football Talk, credited Cole. She credited, who'd she credit?
Cole Thompson. I saw the same thing.
Yeah.
She did mention Sports Radio 610 towards the beginning of the article.
Oh, she did? Oh, okay. So I was like, she said on sports radio per Cole Thompson.
Right. On the radio.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing here,
dude? I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, I got to go back to the beginning. She did mention the station at the beginning.
Okay.
So you're off the hook, Shereen. Good catch, Seth. So Florio picked this up yesterday. So I'm like, okay, is he going to go HOA Florio? And if so, which side is he taking in this flap?
HOA Florio, for those of you that don't know, that's Homeowners Association Florio. So Mike Florio, the former lawyer, sometimes when it starts involving anything legal, he dives in way deeper and harder than anybody
all
wants
the time.
To. Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He's an eager beaver is what he is.
He is. Okay, so whose side is HOA Florio Esquire?
This one surprised
taking?
Me.
A little bit too. So so in his article, He lays out that the McNairs were on Sports Radio 610. He transcribes all the quotes that you just heard right there, so I won't go back through those. He says the situation traces to the fact that when the Oilers left Houston, Houston made no effort to retain the names or the logos or the colors, unlike Cleveland, Houston, the city. So the Oilers took their logos and colors and ditched them for the Titans and now use the Oilers as a throwback, even though it makes zero geographic sense to think of the Oilers as a Tennessee property. Frankly, this is Florio, Houston should own the Oilers' name and logo.
Hmm.
It's good that a compromise was done. It would be better if the Texans had the Oilers' option. I don't think the Texans want the Oilers' option.
I don't think they want it. I mean, I guess when it comes down to whatever, I think the H-Town Blue is probably, it might be a compromise that maybe it's more of a compromise than the Texans wanted, and yet, yeah, I think that you always want to maybe pay homage to the past, but you don't necessarily want to be living in it and wallowing in it. And it's this is probably right. You know, if there's nothing but throwback oil derricks all over town and everything, it doesn't necessarily have a forward-facing, hey, let's accomplish great things in the future, which, by the way, the city has yet to win a Super Bowl or an NFL championship.
Right. You know? Well, with either uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I think if they had access, like full access to that color, and they were able to do like a color rush in the H-Town blue, then that would have been, as long as we're using the word compromise, that would have been the compromise to old school Oiler fans, which is like, we're not going to do the Oiler uniforms, but here are the colors.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like we're kind of playing the middle here sort of thing.
For those of you that, it gets very confusing, and don't worry, we're not going to get into intellectual property law or anything, but a lot of this
not till 9 o'clock.
This is all settled. Like, nobody's taking this stuff to court. This is all settled at the NFL level. Because these are business partners, basically.
Yes.
The teams in the NFL are business partners. So I think that the biggest thing, I think the biggest thing really is that nobody likes the fact that Amy Adams Strunk has the control.
Right.
Right. It's just that it's not even, I think, yes, it's about the colors, obviously, but it's the fact that there's somebody in there in Tennessee who, as Hannah McNair alluded to, like, they started all this nonsense with wearing the throwback uniforms last year. Like, they felt they wanted to up it a notch.
Yeah.
Like, so that's what drives you insane, is that somehow they've got the right. So as far as the intellectual property part goes, the Browns negotiated it when they left that they'd be able to keep the logo, the record book, all of that stuff. So that's why when you look at Browns records, they just took the original Browns and added that to their own record books, and the Ravens became a brand new franchise.
Yeah, the Ravens basically became an expansion team.
The Titans, and this gets where it gets so weird, like the Titans chose to keep their history of the Oilers. So not just the logos, but the history, the records, all of that
and
stuff.
And celebrate it as if it all happened in Nashville.
Yeah, I know. It's all really, really weird.
It's super weird.
It feels like, you know what it feels like? It feels like the NFTs from the COVID era. Where it was kind of like, okay, what are we even arguing about here? Like, what do we even own here? Like, this is all make-believe.
What is a blockchain?
Yeah. Well, that's, okay, that, yeah, okay, yeah.
So Florio sides with Houston on that one. A little surprised.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that Florio did surprise.
A little surprised.
You brought up something during the break.
Yeah.
Do we have time to talk about the CJ Stroud?
Well, let's play CJ getting picked by the Texans,
that.
And that'll be a nice lead into it here. Let's relive draft day 2023. It was a year ago, basically a year ago today. You know, it's like probably like a year ago Saturday or something on the calendar. But draft day, night one, the night that everything changed for the Texans. This is fun to go back and relive this. Ben, go CJ, the two CJs back to back here.
With the second pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
What's up, Nick?
What's happening, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling a lot better now.
Welcome to Texas, bud.
Yes, sir.
Excited to have you.
Thank you.
No, I look forward to working with you. D'Amico's going to get on the phone here in a little bit. He'll visit with you here, and then we'll catch up with you after. But congratulations. You've earned this opportunity, and you know, we can't wait to get started with you.
Thank you for the opportunity, man. I promise I won't let you down. I'm going to work my tail off.
You got it.
CJ, what's up, my man?
What's up, Coach?
Hey, man. Hey, we're all fired up, man. Excited, right? Can't wait to get to work with you, man. You ready to go? Ready to compete?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Just like we talked about, man. That's all I'm about. Yes, sir. I appreciate the opportunity.
You know it, man. Let's go do work.
CJ.
How you doing?
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you for trusting in me.
Well, you worked hard to earn this, and so we look forward to getting you here and seeing your hard work all pay off here as a Texan.
Yes, sir. Yeah, most definitely. I promise to work hard.
I'm a big mark for the war room phone calls.
You like that?
I like those a lot.
I feel awkward because I think about CJ Stroud. Remember, what did he say originally that he thought he was going to go somewhere in the top 12, but
he
had no idea?
He told me when I did the sit down with him, he told me, I asked him, like, I had him, like, put me in your shoes and take us through, like, that night. And he said when the Texans were on the clock, he didn't think the Texans really liked him.
You're right.
He didn't think he said Nick played things real close to the vest when he was visiting and things like that. And he wasn't sure. And plus, there was all the smoke. Yeah, no pun intended. you know, there was all the smoke about where he could go because of the S2 and everything. He thought he could go anywhere. He told me he thought he could go anywhere from 1 to 10.
So 1 to 10.
Yeah.
So if you're looking 1 through 10, now obviously some of those teams didn't need a quarterback, but they might have surprised somebody, but actually a lot of them did. But 1 through 10, like that's 30 different, like 30 total head coach, GM, owner combos.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm always amazed at some of these kids when they get interviewed and people ask, like, well, have you met with this team yet? Have you met with that? Some of the kids who have met with basically all 32 teams, I'm honestly impressed by some of their recall. It's a lot of strange dudes in suits or pullovers that they've met over the course of a couple months to keep track of, and they have no idea where they're going.
Dude, I'm impressed with football players knowing all of their teammates sometimes. Yeah. I'm being serious.
It's true, yeah.
We've got about the same amount of people that work in the building here for our stations as are on an NFL roster when you add up the practice squad and everything, and I'm like, there's still people I see in the hallway sometimes.
If we showered with them every day, we'd know them a lot better. That's a lot. Yeah.
All right.
It's hard to pick
up. Put that in the suggestion box.
You get the whole... Think about how much more information you're getting when you take a shower with somebody versus the face. Face is only like 10%. Or you get the whole full 100%. You know, really? Oh, there's Big Jim.
That would be an interesting email to come out today.
There's Droopy Gwyneth.
starting today... Oh, man.
We don't have a Gwyneth that works here, do we?
I don't think so.
Okay, thank God.
We've got a lot of questions from people about the uniform reveal this week and CJ. There were like a few people freaking out that CJ hasn't posted anything of him in the new unit. He wasn't part of the videos like that. It's simple geography, people. Like, he's decompressing in the offseason. He spends his offseason in California, and... It's a big ask to have somebody fly cross country for a day to pose in uniforms.
It's a big ask. So based on your rummagings around, it seems that the Texans didn't want to even really impose upon him because they know he's being pulled in a million different directions.
Yeah, I don't know if there were like deep conversations about it or if they I don't know if they asked or not. But
I'm glad.
I
honestly was glad to see that he wasn't on there.
Yeah,
I do feel like this first year is a whole lot of like as much as the pressure was at Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know what? Simple geography is still a thing.
Yes.
Sometimes I think we forget that geography really, really still does matter.
Right.
Like being in person, face to face, all that stuff really does matter. And that, it's not as simple as, okay, you can just hop on a jet and come here. And then it ends up being 48 hours out of his life. And just after he's done all this other stuff where you're hoping for a rookie quarterback in that first offseason, A, he gets to rest and relax a little bit because from your senior year on through all that draft process, it's a long, long process. Yeah. But it's learning how to handle being pulled in different directions in a different way than he was at Ohio State.
After he's openly said he's looking forward to having an offseason where he doesn't have to do anything for a couple of months.
Downtime for the first time in his life.
Yeah. So that's all that is. There's no reason to freak out
If I were in the Texans business office maybe if I called up CJ to see about whether or not he wanted to do it, as soon as he said, like, well, I've got a vacation plan. I'm
good.
Yep, see you later.
We're good.
No, we don't need you, man.
100%.
We don't need you.
I agree with you. So there was CJ getting picked number 2, and then there was the big trade up for Will Anderson.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the 3rd pick to the Houston Texans. With the 3rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
What's up?
How we doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Congratulations, Nick Caserio.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You got it, brother. Happy to have you. We're so excited to have you here. Can't wait for you to get here.
Thank you.
D'Amico's right here. I'm going to put him on the phone, all right?
All right.
All right, thanks. Yep.
Let's go, my man. Let's go.
Peace out, bye.
Oh, life, baby. Let's do it, man. Let's do it. Hey, man. Happy for you, brother.
Thank you.
This is an exciting time, man. Can't wait to get to work with you.
I can't wait to work. Thank you for the opportunity, coach.
No doubt.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
Our guys really believe in you. Can't wait to get you here.
Thank you. I can't wait to get there.
So that was fun. You can hear Will's family screaming in the background.
That was, the CJ Stroud was a big thing at the draft party, obviously.
Yeah.
But then the Will Anderson was the one where everything went nuts.
It
as soon as they
crowd,
found out
man.
That the Texans were trading up, it was just a different It was just such a... It was one of the best twists in movie history.
It was.
Really, if this was a movie, or if this was Draft Day the movie or something,
yes,
it's that kind of a twist that nobody expected.
That's what it felt like. That is what... And honestly, the movie Draft Day, the GM in that movie, Kevin Costner, Sonny Weaver is the name of the character.
You would have loved Will Anderson.
Well, he would have loved Will Anderson. Widely panned in the real world for the trades that he made in the movie. Right, it all worked out in the movie.
There was a lot of cocaine, basically, is what they were implying. It was like, these guys are, what the hell is this guy on?
Maybe. But the Will Anderson trade right out of the chute by experts was getting treated a lot like all those trades Kevin Costner was making in the movie. Like, there were a lot of people going, okay, this is an aggressive move here.
You know
making.
What? And it was one of those things when it goes through the news cycle. The first night, everybody covering it was super excited, thought it was an aggressive move. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But then you're moving on to the other things. It wasn't until a day or two later when some of the contrarian or just people coming out and saying, like, well, listen, man, this is a lot to pay for a guy. Yeah. This doesn't work out. It's Nick Caserio's butt. And that's one of the biggest differences between last year and this year. I think there were a lot of people that really, like, it was an understandable objection. It was really, and like we as Texans fans tried to come up with some convoluted rationale that, like, well, no, it was actually trading for the package of both CJ Stroud and Will Anderson. Really smart people were saying things that didn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, I thought about it for a year, Sean. I sat down with a pen and paper and a computer and everything. It didn't make any sense what people were saying. Like, no, it's actually a package deal.
Yep.
So there's that. But it worked out.
It worked out.
To the point where this year, when Nick Caserio traded back out of the first round, there was hardly a hint of skepticism or judgment.
Zero.
And if anything, people used it to bolster their own arguments about where the strengths of the draft were.
That's
I heard more people on podcasts saying, like, well, see, even Nick Caserio decided to move out.
Noted.
Which goes to show you the strength of the draft is in the top 15.
Noted draft tour de force, Nick Caserio.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And he is. He had a hell of a draft last year, man. Hell of a draft. All right, today is draft day. We got you covered all day long here on Sports Radio 610. In fact, we'll touch on draft day and the headlines. We'll hit the Astros as well. A lot of other NFL news going on that impacts the Houston Texans that we'll get to, not only in headlines, but at the top of the hour. Stay there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, draft day is here. It is here. A year ago today, as we just played in the previous segment, game changer, franchise changer for the Texans. It'll be a little more laid back this time. The Texans, as of right now, do not pick until 42nd in the draft. We'll get to the big storylines in the draft at the top of the hour, but a couple things here that we'll hit. The Texans right now have 9 picks, Seth. They've got 3 tomorrow and 6 on Saturday. One of those picks somewhere along the way will be announced by world-famous Houston streamer, Sketch.
Sure, the guy that I pretended I've always known about.
Right.
Long before Sketch was out running routes with CJ Tank Dell.
He's a F-O-C-J-S.
Yeah.
Friend of CJ Stroud.
He's out there. Stephon Diggs was throwing the ball poorly to him at one point. So,
I have since started watching some of his content. He's fun.
So he's a streamer. He's a gaming streamer originally, right?
Yeah,
now
yeah.
he's branched out into doing a lot of
sports
different stuff.
And stuff. He's got his little catchphrases. What's up, brother? Tuesday. Yeah.
When does he say the catchphrases? While he's playing?
Yeah.
So well, you're getting into, are you going to be one of these people that watches people play video games now?
Maybe. Sketch might have got me into it, man.
It's entertaining. Have you sat down and like watched an entire stream? Or
no,
you just
not, yet.
Clips?
Not yet. Not yet. Admittedly, most of it I'm watching now is it's draft season, so I'm making sure I'm not missing anything, that kind of thing.
This is where a lot of people our age and older probably have noticed over the last couple drafts that the people that are getting up to announce some of the picks are world famous people you've never heard of.
They're
streamers or they're content creators. You know, the NFL has really reached out to content creators. I know this year, I just know this from following Brett Coleman. Brett Coleman is a guy that's had a YouTube channel forever and does in-depth film breakdowns. Yep. Real smart guy, but he was originally a Texans fan. So he's still... and he still is a Texans fan, so I hope to see Brett Coleman announce a pick. I don't know if he's edgy enough or not.
Right.
He has long form content on YouTube that takes it's not necessarily appealing to the average 17-year-old.
Right.
It appeals to a very niche. It's one of these things. It's a niche audience, and yet it's hundreds of thousands of people.
Yes.
So like Brett does very well with it. He needs to announce a Texans pick.
I would like that. That would be fun.
I don't know this sketch kid other than just what I've seen of
he seems fun. He's a friend of CJ Stroud. He's a friend of mine. Okay. You know, so he's going to announce one of the picks. As far as storylines go, we'll get to the big ones in the draft. This one I just saw this morning. JJ McCarthy was on the Rich Eisen show.
Yeah.
Did he spill the beans here when he was asked, okay, so what team do you think you're going to?
So where you're going? Any idea?
I mean, I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. You know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know, like, most of the install because Coach Dable came from Alabama and Coach Gaddis came to Michigan from Alabama. So it's similar formations, motions, plays, all that stuff. So being able to get that install in has been great. You know, I met with them twice. It's been amazing.
Okay, so that's the Giants are picking sixth. They, you know, if you're believing what you're hearing about J.J. McCarthy, they might need to move up to get him. There could be four quarterbacks that go in the top five or six picks. Maybe he's there at six. We'll see. Did J.J. McCarthy accidentally spill the beans, or is he trying to speak something into existence?
Maybe he's trying to speak something into existence. I'll tell you one thing that he did. This, honestly, you talk about, like, as much as we criticize scouts for, like, using stupid things to judge people and everything, I do wonder, like, there's a little bit of this where, dude, read the room a little bit. If you got any kind of respect for Daniel Jones or others, or the Giants themselves,
right?
Like, they probably don't really want Daniel Jones knowing that they flirted that hard and heavy with you in case they don't take you.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of a like, all right, dude, just no, have a little wherewithal here. You know, you maybe talk about several teams that you've talked to or what have you. Yeah, I feel like you might have a little of the Harbaugh in him. You might have a little bit of the disconnect from reality and people that Jim Harbaugh's old coach did.
You're right. If I was with the Giants front office and he's trying to speak it into existence, that would have the opposite effect.
Maybe like,
on
dude,
me.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I don't think
like maybe we're not. Maybe we haven't decided on you yet, but you're sitting here and throwing a wrench into our operation if you don't take it.
I always ask, would you be a good mob soldier? He would be a terrible mob soldier.
Awful.
He would crack under questioning and like. 5 seconds.
Oh, he'd be out of jail so quick. He'd be hear they picked up JJ.
Dude.
The cops?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he comes walking in with a bunch of subs.
Yeah.
Like the receipt with the FBI credit card is in the bag still and everything. It's like, hey guys, I got right out.
Or you never see him again because they put him in the witness protection program in Scottsdale.
I like
it
better when they get out too fast.
Yeah.
That's almost, you know why? Because then even the cops are like, this guy sucks. Get him out of there. Let everybody know that we talked to him. Yeah.
Right. Let's Darwinism take its hold. Draft tonight. Coverage begins 6 o'clock here on Sports Radio 610. Astros lose again to the Cubs 4-3 last night. Cubs took a 4-0 lead in the first inning, and that was enough. 4-3, the final score. It feels like every Astros loss, and there have been lots of them, Seth, have been either they give up one gargantuan inning to the other team.
Right.
Or the bullpen on the back end blows the save or gives up a lead.
It's on the front or in the back.
Yeah, something.
It's like we got a shaggy mullet. You know, like almost a kid that's going to let everything go down in the front, but then he's got it on the back, too. And it's only, it's high and tight on the sides.
Right.
But he's just got a flowing mane of hair in the front and in the back.
Oddly, what's working is the shaving on the sides, and it's called Rafael Montero. That's working just fine right now.
Right.
The middle relief's been okay.
Sean Dubin, revelation.
Last night.
Look at this kid.
Yeah,
but the first inning tends to be an issue for Astros pitchers. We got I'll be honest with you, man. I do not like all the various excuses that I hear, like, in any given, like, nobody's in the mood for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was freaking cold out. You know who else it was cold for? The Cubs.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but they're used to it. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, every damn team is half Latin American players. You're going to tell me that somehow, like, oh, yeah, they grew up playing in this weather or something.
Right.
Of course not. No, it's no excuse.
Yeah.
The Cubs players, everybody, nobody's been. It was ugly. It was ugly. It was really bad. And the Astros pitchers, the team's being outscored 30-15 in the first inning this year.
It feels
they
like
they let up a run every damn first inning.
I'll be honest, it feels like way more than 30 runs they've given up.
I know,
in the first
I heard
inning.
That stat, and I was
not,
like, this seems
they, like, Hunter Brown gave up 9 in one outing.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy. So
even Spencer Arrighetti last night looks great after you, okay, but there's the small issue of the 4 runs in the first inning, and then you go 3 in the third innings, and people are acting like he's a revelation.
And this looked like a fun day on the calendar like 3 weeks ago. Like, oh, afternoon game in Wrigley. Man, had I known it'd be Verlander pitching also like 3 weeks ago? You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, wow. Yet afternoon Astros and the first night of the draft starting at like 6 o'clock. So the first pick will be 7 o'clock.
Yeah, big.
It's a fun day, man.
Yeah, the city.
Except the Astros suck.
I feel bad for the city of Chicago. They thought that they were going to get like this this megalopolis of awesome, both draft and baseball.
Yeah,
your Cubs are actually really good this year so far. And but no, they're facing a sham Astros team.
Oh, but they're going to get a win. You know,
you're
going to get a win. I think it's good to be a Chicago person.
I know. I think for them, it feels like, oh, this is a weakened version of the Astros.
Oh, they want to beat up.
We didn't really do it.
It is Verlander, though. If they win against Verlander, I'm trying to.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Good call.
It is Verlander. So we'll see.
I was thinking about the whole weekend total.
Yeah.
But you're right. Today, especially.
Just one day.
Okay. Good call.
One day. All right. Those are headlines. We've got a lot to get to. Amon-Ra St. Brown got a big contract. How does that affect Nico Collins? Penei Sewell also got a big. Detroit was dishing out money yesterday, man. Penei Sewell got a big contract.
How much would they trade for Verlander?
I don't know.
The Tigers.
I don't know. Or the Lions. Can we get Penei Sewell? Well, I'll tell you, notice Penei Sewell's contract.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil.
Big time.
He did. What did he do? The eyeballs or what did he do?
He put 28 !! Because he got $28 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he retweeted the contract and did like a hand on chin thing. He tweeted multiple times.
Hand on chin.
He didn't want.
Nobody's got any.
Laramie's way more fun on a good football team than he is on a bad football team.
Yeah, he was doing that on a bad team.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
I'll say that. All right. A lot to get to here on the show. It's draft day. The biggest storylines for this draft. It starts with Caleb Williams, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But, man, some of the rumors floating around about some of the teams and what they're looking at, we'll get you all up to speed. Do these rumors pass the smell test. That is next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.